we're not to be apathetic or indifferent towards our serving of the Lord. We're to be fervent, and we're to be on fire for the Lord, serving the Lord. We're to hate evil and cleave the good, and we're to really be on fire for the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be shouting and jumping and all that kind of thing, but it just simply means that we are to have some energy and some fervency in our hearts in serving the Lord. This is not just ho-hum. Serving the Lord is a joy. Serving the Lord is wonderful. Serving the Lord is exciting. Now, we may not always feel that way, but we are to be fervent in our spirit in serving the Lord, not lacking any diligence when it comes to serving the Lord. I cannot imagine a young person who loved politics and got an opportunity to maybe go one summer while they were in high school and to work for a congressman or a senator, their capital and all that surrounding politics. I can't imagine they would go, oh, this is so boring, particularly if they love it. Well, because we love the Lord, we're fervent about it. We're not going to be lazy about having zeal for the Lord. We love Him, and we want to serve Him. And we don't always feel that way, but we're to make the choice. This word has to do with choosing to be fervent in spirit and serving Him. Then look at verse 12. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Thirdly, we're to be positive in our trial. Now, that's not always easy. That's not always easy. Because trials do hurt, He does tell us. In 1 Peter and other places, they do hurt. They are painful. He understands that. God does care. But we don't lose hope, and we don't quit. We're patient. We know we have to endure through it. That's what it means to be patiently endure through it. And we make sure that we are continuing instant in prayer. We're constantly giving it to the Lord, constantly. Trials come. They're painful. They're hurtful. But our outlook is bright. Maybe we don't feel that way that moment, but only our outlook is bright because God is on our side. And God will take us through, though we may hurt, and we are able to pray and be instant in prayer towards Him, but we are to be confident. Then I want you to notice there's a long section about human relationships. Paul is very good in telling us about human relationships, and most of the verses deal with that. So go back, if you will, to verse 9. And the first one he says is, let love be without dissimulation. That word means to be without hypocrisy. Our love towards one another is to be genuine. Not, I will be nice to you, but I really can't stand you. And when I'm not in front of you, I'm going to tell everybody how much I can't stand you. But when I see you, I'm going to be nice to you. No. Love is to be without hypocrisy. There's not to be two-faced about it. We're to be genuine in our love for one another. It's not to be fake. It's to be genuine love. Then notice verse 10. It is to be a tender love. He says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, or lifting up the other person ahead of us. Kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring preferring one another, honoring and appreciating the other person in our church, and having a genuine love and compassion for one another. Now, obviously, we are different people, and we display that differently, but the command is to be genuinely loving and caring of one another, and to be tender is actually to helping one another in need. You know, that don't mean that that happens every week. That doesn't mean that it goes on all the time. But if there is a genuine need among one another, we're willing to help. We're willing to encourage one another, whether it be financial assistance or whether it be something else that someone needs. We're willing. In other words, notice those three things have to do with a genuine love and a more kindly love, and then a love that's just willing to help out one another when we're in need. It's to be a real thing. It's not to be just a fake place where we say, hey, and that's it. It's to be a genuine caring for one another. I have found, and I firmly believe this. I could be wrong, but I firmly believe this, that anyone in our church who's regular and faithful to our church, I honestly believe if I had a need, I could go to them. And if they could, I believe they would help. And I believe they would anybody else. That's the way a church ought to be. And so he tells us these. Now I want you to notice, going on down to verse 13. Nope, excuse me, 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We kind of go a little deeper now. And I say this is just taking people where they are in life. The rejoicing with them that do rejoice just simply means something's good happened to you. I rejoice in that. If you got a bigger raise at the job that we're both working together, I don't get jealous and envious. I rejoice if you rejoice. I rejoice if you're blessed. And then we weep with them that weep. We're there where people are. Whatever they need. That just tells you the two sides of life. There are good things that happen in life that we rejoice, that people can rejoice, say, you know, well, this was great. And we ought to rejoice with them. And then the other side of life is weeping, sadness, and heartache. And sometimes people say, I don't know what to say. Well, just being present can be the greatest thing in the world. Just to be present, to just care, to want to help, to be where people are. That's what he's saying, is that there's a kindness and gentleness and a giving, but then we take people where they are. Something's good in your life? Hallelujah. Something's tough in your life? I'll join with you. If we have to cry together, we'll cry together. Now, Dean didn't do that this week, by the way, when I was taking Hannah off. They were in there putting the things together in the apartment, and they thought Daddy was down there eating chicken, which I was, but I was also watching Walking the Block, Boogie, just to cry in my not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, when evil comes towards us and how we're treated, we don't react and act just as ugly. We overcome that evil